February 12th, 2020. Here's the Waff Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Hey, brother, man.
Hey, how's it?
Yeah, happy middle of February.
Yes, warming up a little bit.
Huh?
Warming up a little bit.
40, what do you call it? 43 days, no liquor.
Oh, man, cool. Very cool.
We started to show off with my ideal, John Coltrane. Just talking about John Coltrane. And then our guests drove down from the Happy.
Yeah, we got some folks in the house.
They took the Harbor Freeway to where it ends.
All roads lead to Pedro.
The brother unit of Jerk and Graham.
Oh, yeah.
Where I got to meet in Shadow Hills at Sun Space.
Bitchin', cool.
Little community pad. And
Bitchin'.
I think it was Ev of the Cinema people made the connect,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I really liked the way they played and asked for some music and then asked for them to be on the show.
Cool. Welcome
and
to
I
Pedro.
That was way back in November.
Yeah.
but no wine before it's time.
Yeah,
welcome aboard.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
And then the tune is Sandwich. Two words, people. And then Pedro, resident Romy here.
Yeah, and been on Romy.
The show before with their Black by Black spiel, but she's got some important news regarding one of our
our local heroes.
Yeah, I guess he's still a resident.
Yeah.
Don't try digging.
I visited
him
not too long ago.
Yeah. And hey, Rome, what's the big news?
So we announced last year on August 16th, his 99th birthday, is Charles Bukowski's 99th birthday. Would have been.
No, it always will be.
I went to his last birthday party.
It always will be.
I was at his last birthday party.
Yeah. Oh, at Andrea's store.
Yeah, Andrea Kowalski. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so we announced...
Went to high school with her.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you signed a couple books for me.
She used to live on 6 above one of them pads for a while.
Yeah, yeah, she had a bookstore.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vinegar Hill Books.
Yeah, we announced that we're... Because it's his centennial this year in 2020. Okay. And we announced an effort to do a statue of him. And so we have his wife, Linda Bukowski, on board.
Yeah, he still lives here.
Yeah, and...
By Enchilada House.
Yes,
the closest we're going to tell you, people. You don't need any harassment.
No. And we have Eugene Dopp, who's also living in Pedro. He did the Rosa Parks statue in the Capitol, so... Right now we're raising money for to do a statue.
He's been chosen to be the artist?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's our artist. So, you know.
And where's he going to go?
Downtown.
Yeah, but where?
We have two locations. I wanted it to go at 6th and Mesa.
Yeah.
But there's...
Because you like Yoshi's.
I know, it's right next to Senfuku.
Right. Which in the old days was a pawn shop. On that corner.
On that corner, yeah.
That used to be the... You know how pawn shops now are on Pacific around 8th?
Mm.
Yeah.
And 9th? They used to be all 6th Street right around that area, because that's where me and D. Boone got our first guitars.
Oh, okay.
Like $10, $15. Yeah, you know, Econo stuff. Uh-huh. There was 4 or 5 pawn shop areas there. That whole...
Yeah.
It changed. Maybe it's changed.
Well, so now that's like a parking lot right there, but now they're...
Right. Well, kind of, because sometimes bands play there too, right?
Yeah, so that's where I wanted it to go, but it's, they're opening that up for development. So they're...
Uh-oh. More condos? No, yeah. I think half a block away.
Yeah.
By the courthouse, right?
So that's the courthouse property. They're having a plaza in front of what's going there.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility.
Okay.
But the other place is like right on 6th Street, like across the street from the Warner Grand.
Oh, okay.
So that if, when you're looking at the statue,
it's kind of an arcade. I think it's called an arcade.
Yeah. Mm. He'll be right, like it'll be behind him.
And that's only... A few doors down from Williams.
Yeah.
Bookstore.
Yeah.
We had a bookstore that lasted 100 years, over 100 years, and they finally had to close. It's open again, but don't sell books, right? You guys sell records.
Like an art.
art.
Yeah, it's an art store.
But Williams Bookstore.
Yeah, that's a cool spot.
One time I rapped with them there.
I used to do some book reviews for them.
Really?
Yeah, Seraphimus Club. His mom was still around the place.
I used to always buy books for people for Christmas there.
Yeah.
Help them out with it. Thanks.
Yeah.
One of the last independent bookstores. 10 years ago?
Hey, there's a book in Long Beach, right?
Dodge.
That was a huge baby.
Dodge, Either Or. He had some cool bookstores.
Yeah, Either Or. Hermosa.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. We've lost a lot of books. I think the only one open is, there's a Marina Pacifica Mall one, Barnes & Noble. I think that's about it. You know? Like, no use there. I mean, the thing about used books, right? They don't go to waste.
Yeah.
Now it's your turn, right?
Yeah.
This is scary.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's good news.
Yeah.
So what's the plan?
So we're just raising money. We're doing some events to celebrate, raise money and celebrate his centennial. So if you want, we're going to do the 40th anniversary of his last reading. Up in Venice, up at Beyond Baroque. That'll be in May.
Right.
And then we're going to, really just celebrate his 100th birthday. and hopefully have announce the design on his birthday of what the statue is going to look like.
All the news and all the contributions, there's someplace on the internet, right?
Yeah, so we have a GoFundMe. It's GoFundMe.com/Bukowski. So it's super easy to remember.
That's his name.
So you can donate there. And for coming up events, you can visit our website. Where this is
Chinaski was his alter ego.
Yeah, Hank.
Hank Chinaski. So this whole effort is put on by my organization, the San Pedro Heritage Museum.
Yeah.
And you can find out information about our upcoming events at sanpedroheritage.org.
Cool.
And is that connected anyway with the San Pedro Bay Historical Society?
No, we're our own organization.
Okay.
They're the older one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
they've got archives in the city building on 6. That's one I kind of belong to. This newer one.
Yeah, I just started this in 2018.
Okay. Yeah, wow, last year.
To be a an actual place that I was a board member of the Historical Society.
At Mueller House. Right?
Yeah. My thing is just more active. Like they're totally cool, just taking stuff in and holding on to it, which is great. But I want my thing, and that's why the whole statue is part of what we're doing, is to go out and tell people and really rep Pedro and share our history. So right now, it's a virtual museum. It's literally me in a PowerPoint presentation. but I'm just, evangelizing for my hometown.
Yeah,
and getting
the history out there. I know the story. He, I was telling you guys, he when he was writing post office and Hammond Rye and stuff, he's living up in L.A. He wanted to stay there. So he's checking out places to live. And he thought Pedro had the people that were more he could deal with. He thought they were more
makes sense.
Less front,
mm-hmm.
up front,
yeah,
not front, straight up, not so much front. And that's why he liked it. And so he chose this place and ended up.
He liked Harbor View House next to the post office too.
Yeah,
right, which is the old Elks.
YMCA, yeah.
Oh, why? I'm sorry.
Yeah. I told Linda, I was at her house the other day, and I told her that I was going to come on the show, and she sent a book.
By the way, Elks has gotten done.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But it's taken forever to reopen.
Yeah.
One of my hobbling paths is up there. I saw it last week. It's pretty done. So Linda says, what?
She sent this book for you.
Oh.
She wrote I didn't read what she wrote in there.
She's just the greatest. One time I got to interview her for magazine.
She totally loves you. She said her dream would be for you to write an opera about Hank.
Wow.
Because I know, you've done your...
I've done three of them.
So
I'm working on a fourth one that Charlie Plimel wrote, the libretto.
So just planting the seed if you're interested.
It's a cool seed to plant.
She said that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. That's something to consider. Nice. Thanks so much, Romy.
Thanks for having me.
Everybody, if you want to help out, have Pedro... Probably a lot of people here don't even know he spent time here and stuff, and he picked us over the other parts. So that's bitch. Thank you so
very
much.
Cool, great project, and cool stuff that you do. I got a couple tours still. I won in the lighthouse thing in some baskets. So you'll be hearing.
Sweet.
Yeah, so we'll be taking one of your tours soon.
Very cool.
Yeah, she did a thing where she went block by block of the stamp.
Yeah, that
goes
sounds
back.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
It took 9 months.
A little while.
And then I had my first. I decided to have guest walkers, and Watt was my first one.
Yeah,
and he showed me his.
I told him where a proc pad is. I've had the same proc pad for 32 years. It's the upper reservation of the old Fort MacArthur. This was the officer's head. I tore out all the shitters, put in a bulkhead and a hatch. And I'll show Romy around. One of the things that helped our harbor, the war ended finally in Vietnam, so we didn't need all this military. So they turned it over to artists.
Mm.
So it's called the Angels Gate Cultural Center. Just they dug the lower reservation out, made a marina for boats. The only thing left is the middle one, and that's bomb builder people in Hawthorne. It's Air Force.
We strolled by and we saw a basketball hoop right on the water, which was
it's bitching. There were some cool Kobe shots at that spot.
Right by the Green Belt. Yeah.
Right up the street right here.
I saw that. It's beautiful.
In the 50s with that
water. Yeah, there's a temple. I saw that. Mm. So
they ring it on New Year's and July 4th.
Yeah, I can almost see it from right here. Yeah. It's behind that house.
I hobbled around it this morning.
What was the main intention behind the walk? What did you find out?
Because I'm born and raised, and there were certain streets I had never even been on.
Yeah. Mm.
And so I lost my job during the recession, and I needed something. I was like, I need to make get myself a job, and I did.
It's an exploration kind of too.
Totally. It ended up being like my own little like eat, pray, love in my backyard.
Your diary.
Yeah.
I actually found out that Jonathan Gold.
Yeah, online. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The food guy. He was a music guy first.
Yeah. When he
cancer killed him like 3 weeks.
Yeah. So when he first started realizing that he wanted to write on a bigger scale for food, he said, I'm going to go on every single place on Santa Monica Boulevard from front to back. And it's actually a great documentary called City of Gold.
That's a great, great one, yeah.
And he talks about how
that's a buttload of pads, though.
Yeah. He said it took him a long time, but he went to eat, or ate, rather, at every single place on Santa Monica.
Yeah,
Boulevard,
that's an awesome story.
Downtown of Santa Monica.
Mm.
Yeah, he was cool.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ron Broly, he had some connects
with him. That's right. So let's talk about the fucking...
The Muse Act.
Yeah, the Zerkagram. Who wants to go first?
We'll
go for it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask your brothers and shit, but you're first because you're older, baby.
Actually, I'm a little bit older. I got the beard.
Well, progenitor issue.
You can't do that.
He's like a man.
Okay, then you're fucking earliest musical memory.
Well, we're fraternal twins. And, basically...
So one's a few minutes old.
Yeah, so he started drumming and got really good, really quick, and basically you learned, like...
Well, our dad was...
Yeah, because I want to go back.
Guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Before you played drums.
Yeah.
What was your first musical memory?
First musical memory? Yeah, I'm sure it was with my dad. I mean, he played guitar, and he was really, really good.
He was a shredder.
From a young age. And, you know, I...
So there's instruments in the house.
Yeah. And he would always, you know, sit around and...
So let me say that my father also...
Remember that.
Growing up, he had, first of all, musical memorabilia, because he's a huge music fan. You know, anything from Jimi Hendrix's Strap to a signed picture of the Beatles and the Doors.
What about records?
He was more of a CD guy at that point. He had switched over when I was...
Same thing, though. He got a lot of music,
but
so you're hearing your dad.
Tons. Right. I would just... He would wake us up playing anything from Mahavishnu to Sade.
Yeah.
And, so...
Sade?
Yeah.
I didn't see her.
But, so I used to pick things off of his huge catalog that he had, this case. And,
yeah.
Things like Carl Stalling, who made all the music for Looney Tunes, like really out there compositions, to Coltrane and Miles Davis. I remember picking up the double CD of Bitches Brew and that, you know, when I was younger, and that opened my mind. And, you know, I feel like just growing up in that musical household, and he also had like 30 different guitars growing up. Anything from...
Yeah, so there's guitars available. You can get...
Sure.
He didn't bum on you playing them.
No, like old Tellys, gold top Gibsons, Parker Flies, which I don't even think they make anymore, which were like super light and, for me, super easy to play. He would...
Did he give you lessons?
Or
did he go? Have you go to a
teacher? Actually, okay, this is my earliest musical memory, and I actually love this little story, which I always get reminded of. When I was, he would show me how to play like little bits of songs, and I remember sitting on his bed in his room, and he was teaching me how to play China Groove by Doobie Brothers,
which is
really easy.
It's a hard song to play.
It's a really easy.
I don't know. You gotta have some rhythm.
Yeah, that's true.
There's not a lot of chords.
Those guys are killer guitarists, though.
It's good. Even that. Listen to the music.
Yeah,
sure. It's like only a couple chords, but it's all rhythm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like the
Tom Fogerty. I was watching a thing on Creeds.
Yeah.
The older brother. They didn't give him the credit.
Mm.
Yeah, he was good.
Something about rhythm guitar. Good rhythm guitar can make a good band.
Yeah, those
Power Trios, you don't deal with them, right? Troopers, you don't even deal with the fucking bass player.
Exactly.
What about school?
Did
you have any music at school?
We took like...
choir or some shit.
No.
They had us all... play violin for a year, but that was it.
No marching band, no jazz band.
No, none of that. I
way back when.
I actually can't recall what instinctively made me want to play drums, but my mom says that ever since I was really young, I was like hitting stuff, you know.
So you're not attracted to all the guitars in the
desk. I get, well, I remember more so like the ambience of music generally being all around me when I was younger, and I took drum lessons when I was like 5 years old for a couple years.
Did you get a kit?
Yes, and one of my earliest memories, yes, which
I'm
sure was tough, but I remember being pretty young and playing a Nirvana song with my dad. I think it was...
Him playing guitar and you
Come
drums.
As You Are, I think, yeah. But after lessons for like a year and a half to 2 years, I didn't love... lessons. I just liked hitting stuff on my own.
So you cut rope.
Yeah. And since then, like, I've just learned on my own.
I think similarly, both of us sort of view music in the way where it's like you, almost like in philosophy, when you observe, experience, you learn. You take that with music. Like, I've essentially studied music. I was telling you, I listened to everything from Carl Stalling to Mahavishnu to Sade and you know, everything from death metal to classical, and you pretty much just take your own observations, and it's school in itself.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I ask these things because my mind reading's not so good. I'll get that to the point where I won't have to ask you. But yeah. What me and Brother Matt found doing the show is everyone on the show has a different kind of music journey.
Yeah.
Nobody's had two same journeys.
Yeah.
I want to play some music from you guys. Thank you. Waff and Pedro show. That was Jerkogram with the Escaping Elk.
That's a journey.
We'll get to that. And then Beck Tudor, brand new disbander. Lucy Lee, brand new gymnastics club. And finally, Banana Brain.
Oh, Jerkogram. Yeah.
Not as much invention, but still good frolic.
A mellow
adventure. Yeah, a mellow adventure. So, now where was this? Where did you guys grow up?
Connecticut, New York. We were born in Manhattan.
Connecticut, New York.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
Both states.
We were born in Manhattan, and we moved to Connecticut when we were really little, six years old.
But well, there's some parts of Connecticut are kind of suburbs for.
Yeah. We lived like an hour away, so New York was always, like, familiar to us.
And we were going to shows constantly every weekend, even when we were, like, 14, 15.
Yeah, first told me about that, living in Danbury.
Well, your first show.
Yeah, that's right.
What was your first show?
First
gig you
This
saw.
Is interesting. So the first show that I saw without a parent or guardian, I was, I think, 15 years old, and I freaking pegged my dad. And he let me see Pantera, Slayer, and Morbid Angel.
Yep. Mm.
And I was probably the youngest one there. And I was, like, so... Yeah, like, Pantera, I was, like, really, really, really into Pantera at a younger age, and so I remember that show being, like, oh, my God, like, I'm but here on my own. It was, like, a really heavy show.
Before
awesome.
That, I mean, my mother also plays guitar and sings very nicely, too, and and they would take us to, I remember seeing Santana when he was young, when before he, you know, shit the
That was
bed.
An amazing show.
I mean, when he had, like, when he had, like, nine bongo players. Actually, he's
the
another
Matchbox
guy.
Guy, right?
He's another guy who made a beautiful record with Alice Coltrane.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made one also with John McLaughlin.
Beautiful record. Absolutely.
Kind of fuge.
Billy
Cobham
on drums.
John
the
and them did a lot of stuff together.
I think it's called Love, Devotion, Surrender.
Yes, it is.
They share the same guru.
Yeah, McLaughlin and Cobham were also on Santana's record, Welcome, which is a beautiful record.
Right.
Yeah.
So we would go to a lot of shows, but I remember the first show that really blew my mind.
We're at the end of the first hour.
Oh, wow.
February 12th, 2020. Well, Pedro's show, hold tight for hour two. February 12, 2020, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
played with Sonny once. For me, memorable. September 18, 1981. Yes. At the Kitchen, when it was on West Broadway. Mm-hmm. One of Mr. Laswell's outfits, a kind of material. I guess this was raw material. Fantastic occasion. Oh, yeah. Big crowd. Kind of wealthy looking. Very dirty and holes in the jeans, you know. We play 90 minutes non-stop. Certain amount of amusement amongst the masses, but great gig. Oh, yeah. And later. Yeah, later. Bunch of us standing on the street, as you do, on the corner of West Broadway and Broome, I think, when the percussionist, Charles K. Noyes, great name for a drummer, I always thought it would be nice if beautiful, in fact, if he could have formed a duo with Billy Bang. The Noyes Bang Duo. Anyway, Charles dropped a $100 bill down the drain. A drain in the street. It fell through the grating and just lie on top of all the slime and shit and rubbish down there. Kind of winking at us. Just lay right on the top. And you could see it gleaming in the moonlight. Okay, the lamplight. Sure, there were maybe 5 or 6 of us. And we got, like, poles and a sort of hook on a wire, and we were there for hours. I don't know. This was anyway at 2 a.m. or something. And the big sort of crowd developed. I mean, cars were pulling up and people were leaping out to find out why this bunch of people were all staring down this drain. Looking for Mr. Pinchot, I suppose. But then, anyway, they went on a long time. And there were people like offering concessions, or trying to buy the concessions. Somebody offered Charles, I think, $20. When he got it out, if the guy got it out, he kept the $100. Anyway, Charles left. He got kind of depressed about it. And then we all left. Strangely, I can't remember how it finished up. I just, I think the police turned up and moved everybody on and then got it out themselves, I suppose. Maybe it's still there. that's one of Sonny's. Of course, it would be better if he were playing it.
It is truly amazing how very little regard large pharmaceutical companies have for their very own paying customers. I know it is the insurance. Don't start me on that. I pay into the racket. I need what I take to stay in remission. I really have no choice, but 30 little pills cost $800 a month. This weighs heavily on my mind. Surely I have only a copay, but I have a conscience, too. The cost is staggering. Someone has to pay. Someone else makes a big profit to do what? Advertise? If they are so eager to help, they can really make it available to so many who need it to erase so much anger. But profit is more important than helping human beings. The stuff is there already, but it could do a lot of good, but they won't let it go generic. Not for the lives of us. I guess I am privileged, one of the few with health insurance. I would like to be free, but I'm beholden to the company that makes those little pills. What a masterstroke to get so much out of so little, then price it far out of range for an ordinary person. This drives costs upward, limiting the availability of help. I wish I could do something besides just take my pills.
Still the way you want.
Watch for Pedro show. Started the second hour off with Cheat Day, Jerk Graham. Then Henry Kaiser, guitar man.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You know, his other job, he skin dives at the South Pole.
For Werner Herzog.
That's right.
He helped him. He made the music for that fucking thing.
Yeah, the world, which is
and I just, in fact, did, he has to be part of some electric trip doing Love Supreme and Meditations, the two suites.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
And it's the first version of Meditation with the bigger band.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's probably my favorite record of his.
Wow. It's got two more movements that the other one doesn't.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, Wayne Pete, Vinnie Golia, and John Hanneron did it, and that's going to be coming out soon. But more Echoes with Sonny. Joe Brewer, 30 Little Pills, Jack Brewer's cousin, and Jerkogram with I.I. And the Sailor thing. So have you guys always been in bands together?
Yeah, it's honestly only been all of our eggs into one basket for a while.
It was like a weird improv collective before.
What was your first gig?
We were younger.
Was it called Jerkogram?
It was at Goodbye Blue Monday, wasn't it?
Oh,
in Brooklyn. It was a pre-show that we drove in for.
Do you remember Goodbye Blue Monday?
No.
Under the under the bridge in Bushwick.
Yeah.
Off the J train.
Man, Brooklyn, you didn't even play. I played there in '82.
Yeah. And
then never again until like 2000.
When well, there you go.
I think it's called. It was called North 6, but now the Bowery Ballroom people have it.
Yeah,
They have the Ritz too. It's called Webster Hall now.
I think the
Ritz was the biggest place you could play at a point in the '80s for a punk band.
Nice.
But North 6 thing all changed, huh?
I think North 6 is actually a Polish VFW hall or something now. Last time I checked.
Really?
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
But they still do shows over there.
I thought it was called some kind of.
I may be mistaken. I know one of the old venues got turned into
this one was right by the water, and it was one of the first ones. That one we played in '82 was called the Brooklyn Zoo with Black Flag, Minuteman.
Oh.
These guys put our it was February, put our shit on the sidewalk. They had baseball bats and silk baseball jackets on, big fly go chains. Get the fuck out. I mean, it was so bad. It was 20 years when I played Brooklyn again. Things really changed.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Tony Mamone was the first ones over there with the guy who runs Studio G with Joel Hamilton.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's Williamsburg.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, what was that first gig like?
Yeah, so that first show, I just remember it actually being a pretty standard DIY show with hardly anybody there, but we hadn't played a show, so it was pretty. We were amped for it.
It was all improv. So we had a friend Mark playing guitar. We had a friend Pete playing bass. I think our friend Lexi might have been singing.
We were only improvisational.
So it's different than like Jerkogram.
Yeah. Well, so. We initially were only improvisational for years, and we only really started writing songs and releasing records like 6 years ago. But we often improvised with friends of ours, and it was kind of like the two of us as the core of the band, and it would have kind of
revolving
different improvs. Yeah.
When did you guys come out here?
We
September 2014.
That's when we moved here.
Here. September 2014.
So that's 6 years ago.
Yeah.
You've been writing.
Yeah.
I'd say 2014 is when
when you started writing songs.
Full-length record was the beginning of 2014. I would say 2013 is when we started writing.
So before that, every gig was different. Well, there was a band here in the old days called Paper Bag, Richie Hass. There was a couple guys, and Cancer got here. But these cats, and I know Green on Red, the singer man, always made up new words every time they did.
That's great.
But I was also balls out when you have to invent the whole shit every time you go to.
Well, we loosely improv on all of our shows.
Okay.
Still, we keep that element in our music. Yeah. Like, we have.
Well, this shit I saw.
Yeah.
But you were talking like they were songs, because you were saying you were giving us some
Yeah, so they're all written, and we have changes, and live, sometimes we just, like, take apart, and we jam on it, like, a little while, and we look at each other, and we go to the next part.
And then the jams never really sound the same. But there are also still times where we'll play shows as Jerkagram, and then we'll invite two horn players and the two violins.
Well, you sent me some music that with you collaborate with other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
I sent you the noise thing with the friend Martine. So we still do, like, gigs just with, you know, whoever we find that we like.
Yeah. We're trying to kind of keep one foot in each of those worlds, I guess, and
structure world,
how that goes.
Structure world,
yeah.
Keep it fun,
essentially.
I can't remember the philosopher. There's a Greek philosopher. You can't stand right both legs in the same.
Yeah,
way.
I know. I think it confuses a lot of people, which is why
Herodotus.
People still.
That's right,
Herodotus.
Herodotus. Said he said because the water. It's a metaphor for, like, life.
Yeah.
You can't hold it still, even though it's more
impermanence.
Impermanence.
Really,
right.
Yeah.
The water rushes by you, it's never the same again.
Yeah. That's what I love.
That's happening. Yeah. But you know that.
Oh, yeah, man.
Fuck.
That's all I know. That's all I know.
Well, who's the guy who lived in the barrel? Diogenes? His name is like that. It means dog, I think.
Mm.
He lived in a barrel downtown, right? He'd throw his own shit at people. Yeah, you're too civilized.
You're
fucking up life by the civilization shit. Yeah. This guy would, like, throw his shit at people. He lived in some fucking barrel, and people put up with him. He like, harassed people and shit. Diogenes.
Sounds like most of LA.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think it's time to get some fucking spin cyclers going. Cool. Brother Matt, you got a collaborator, a co-conspirator.
Very cool.
Fucking bring his guitar and jerk
him for it
and throw him, okay?
Sweet.
I am watching a girl dressed in a light green sweater, blue shorts, long black stockings. There's a necklace of some sort, but her breasts are small, poor thing. And she watches her nails as her dirty white dog sniffs the grass in erratic circles. A pigeon is there too, circling, half dead with a tick of a brain. And I am upstairs in my underwear, 3-day beard, pouring a beer and waiting for something literary or symphonic to happen. But they keep circling, circling, and a thin old man in his last winter rolls by, pushed by a girl in a Catholic school dress. Somewhere there are the Alps, and ships are now crossing the sea. There are piles and piles of H&A bombs. Enough to blow up 50 worlds and Mars thrown in. But they keep circling. The girl shifts buttocks. And the Hollywood Hills stand there, full of drunks and insane people and much kissing and automobiles. But it's no good. Chased on Sarah. Her dirty white dog simply will not shift. With a last look at her nail, she, with much whirling of buttocks, walks to her downstairs court, trailed by her constipated dog, simply not worried, leaving me looking upon a most unsymphonic pigeon. Well, from the looks of things, relax. The bombs will never go off. kill more men than us. Due to weekend conditions, and although there's not too much smog, everything's jammed and it's worse than masts down in a storm. And you can't go anywhere, and if you do, they're all staring into glass and waiting for dinner. And no matter how bad it is, not the glass, the dinner. They'll spend more time talking about it than eating it. And that's why my wife got rid of me. I was a boor and didn't know when to smile or fake it. Or rather worse, I did, but didn't. And one afternoon with people diving into pools and playing cards and watching carefully shaven comedians in starched white shirts and fine neckties trying to be one of them, kidding about what the world had left them, I pretended a headache and they gave me the young lady's bedroom. She was about 17, and hell, I crawled beneath her sheets and pretended to sleep, but everybody knew I was a corner fake. But I tried all sorts of tricks. I tried to think of Wild behind his bars, but Wild was dead. I tried to think of him shooting a lion or walking down Paris streets, medallion with his wild buddies, or all the horrors, you know, swooning to their beautiful knees. But all I did was twist within her young sheets, and from the headboard, shaking in my nervous storm, several trinkets fell upon me. Elephants, glass dogs with seductive stares, a young boy and girl carrying a pail of water, but nothing by Bach or orchestrated by Ormandy, and I finally gave it up. Went into the john and tried to piss. I knew I'd be constipated for a week, and then I walked out. And my wife, a reader of Plato and E.E. Cummings, ran up and said, "Ooh, you should have seen Boo Boo at the pool. He turned backflips and side flips off one foot. It was the funniest thing you've ever seen." I think it was not much later that the man came to our third floor apartment about 7 in the morning and handed me a summons for divorce, and I went back to bed with her and said, "Don't worry, it's all right." She began to cry, cry, cry. "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And I said, "Please stop. Remember your heart." But that morning when she left, about 8 o'clock, she looked the same as ever, maybe even better. I didn't even bother to shave. I called in sick and went down to the corner bar. Thank you.
Brother Matt.
Yes.
What was it made you do what you did this time?
We'll blame that one on Hank. Yeah, just wanted to get the Bukowski stuff in there. And then, that's where it started. So, no, it didn't make it easy.
No, I like playing with the spoken word. Whenever there's like the hip-hop beats, which were actually really... Were those off the dome? Those were...
There was some stuff from Hard Kiss, some stuff from Peter Gabriel, some stuff from Opium Jukebox, Bhangra, Bloody Bhangra, Iron Man.
Yeah, I don't know modes very well, and beats are always different for me, but I always love the spoken word stuff.
That was nice getting Hank in there for Romy's statue, and if you're interested in contributing towards that statue, it's GoFundMe.com/Bukowski.
Bukowski.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do it. We're at the end of the second hour, Brother Matt. February 12, 2020, Dish Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Jerky Graham. Hold tight for hour three. February 12, 2020, it's the third hour, the Wap from Pedro Show.
Thank you. completely. You give your love so sweetly.
Unspoken.
You say that I'm the only one.
The only one.
But will my heart be broken?
Be broken.
When the night meets the morning sun.
Walk for Peter show. Start off the third hour with Jerkogram doing Priggish. And Crane with Running Out of Excuses. Late great Richard Derrick, Another Umbrella. Eventide First. Brand new Chinese Herbal Medicine with Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow. The Healers out of Illinois with Can't Explain. And Mythomania from Jerkogram.
Love that one.
Yeah. Which is the Jerkogram guys. This record that's coming.
Yeah.
When does it come?
We don't know.
We'll see.
Okay,
so
okay.
We just started sending it around.
Right. Like we've been playing ago. It on the show here.
Yeah.
Where did
Somebody
you do
help
it?
Help us.
We actually, do you know John McIntyre?
Sure. Drummer man.
Yeah.
Tortoise.
Talented motherfucker. So.
He's living out now to do. Also does tattoo.
Does he?
I think that's.
Well, he's in living in Portland now.
Oh, no. I think of John Conyer.
John McIntyre is a drummer.
Yeah,
but they both played Tortoise together in Tortoise.
Yes.
He was living up by Reno and stuff.
Oh, now John Herndon?
John Herndon. That's
yeah, he's here, I think.
Johnny Machine, they call him.
Yeah, he's over here.
He's in Altadena. Yeah, I did a tone scientist project with him here at Casa Hanzo.
Nice.
He's a great cat, yeah, with Bucky Pope.
Nice.
But his other drummer man, partner in Tortoise, yeah. John was here, and then
yes,
he went to like Reno, and now he's in Portland.
Yeah,
he went to Grass Valley, which is
Grass Valley.
Where yeah. We recorded with him. He was there for a very short period of time.
Yeah, because he was telling me, I remember, I was still in Chicago, I want to come out to SoCal and get a student, make a student.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he did that and left.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he did that. I guess he wasn't too crazy about Los Angeles, and he went to Grass Valley. And then, for some personal reasons, I suppose, I don't quite know, but he went to Portland.
Yeah.
I do quite like Portland. And but we got in there while he was there for a couple months in Grass Valley. And
which I think Jonathan Richmond lives out there.
Hmm.
And the Terramelos guys are from out there.
Yeah, the Hella guys are out there.
Hella?
Yeah.
Right. Spencer, yeah.
It's near Sacktown people.
Yeah. It's like an
hour and a half east of the Bay.
It's between Reno and Sacramento, near the mountains and the river right there. Yeah.
Donner Pass.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So how long did it take you to do?
We were there for 3 days.
And this is the structured version of Jerkogram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was no improvising in the studio.
The escaping out that there, long journey.
Yeah, that was improv in the studio.
Okay.
But this album was written with a bassist and a violinist, which is a departure from what we usually do.
Sure.
Which is write just as a duo, and then we add instruments in the studio to sort of like kind of like underline. The music, but
they're more
actually
frosty.
Wrote with a bassist
and
a violinist.
Right. So they were an integral part.
Yeah.
What about, I want to play this tune here. It's one of your collaborations with Martin.
Oh, yeah.
So it's hard to say this. Is that bleeding?
Oh, I don't even. I keep forgetting how to pronounce it. So it means pretty girls in Hungary.
Hungarian.
Actually, or Hungarian rather, yes. So it's actually
I think
also.
They say Magyar.
Sorry?
You know that? Yeah, they don't say Hungary. Like Germany says Deutschland?
Yeah.
They say Magyar.
Huh. But it's actually a movie, a title, about the Hungarian beauty queen from, I forget what year it is. And I forget her exact story, but I was reading a little bit about it quite a while ago. But she wound up passing away, and it's a bit of a fascinating story. So if you look up that movie.
This is her name?
Yeah. It's
people, you spell it
I think
so. S-Z-E-P-L-E-A-N. Y-O-K.
I know. I named the song.
No, Hungarian is a tricky language.
I can't remember.
The closest thing to it is Finnish and Estonian.
Yeah, those are trippy out there.
And they're called Hungary, not because they're starving. It's the land of the Huns.
What? So it's not because
they don't
everybody lives there.
They call it Magyar.
Because I thought
That's
Turkey
crazy,
named
yes.
themselves Turkey out of spite.
Yeah, exactly.
No, they're from the Turk people. Turk people were way out in Asia.
Ah, I see.
No, Japan calls them Shichimencho, means a seven-faced bird. They're from here.
Oh, yeah.
The ones we char are the ones they brought over to Europe, domesticated. But they're actually from here.
Well.
Let's listen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Walk for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Yeah, the title of the song that cannot be named. But it's named after a famous beauty queen.
I probably should learn how to pronounce that.
Yeah.
It says Blanyak. Yeah, or something.
Get to
we have a lot of Balkan stuff on, too, and that's pretty tough to say. It's okay. We don't mean any insult or disrespect. We're just two stupid people.
Uneducated.
And Martin Escalante was with you.
Martin.
Yeah, we love Martin.
With the accent over the I to the right.
Right.
Well, you know, I in English is the only one ice, right?
Yeah.
In Europe, all the I is the E sound.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's why they say Wi-Fi.
But Martin,
they don't say Wi-Fi.
I didn't know that. But Martin is great. He's self-taught saxophone player as well.
Autodidact.
From Mexico.
Okay.
And just a super talented. I saw him play a gig with a trio with Corey Fogel and Patrick Shirishi, also really talented guys from here.
Sure.
And I was kind of blown away, and I was like, yeah, I gotta make something with you.
Yeah.
Wow. And then R. Elizabeth with Spiritual Symphony, Purple Interpolations to the Pain Mix from A.B. Normal. That's Brother Phil up there in Mammoth. He's got his old one-man band thing going,
yeah.
Brother Matt. And finally, something live from Jerkit, a Graham Perception Exception.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an oldie. Nice.
What?
I really like that one.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the next plan once you get this guy out?
Ooh, this is interesting.
There's a lot going on. I mean, we want to tour more. The last tour we did was actually in Japan, which was really fun.
We really want to go back.
It all depends with this record. We're just trying to get somebody to release it that we're kind of tired of DIY touring, and it's a lot.
You think labels really help nowadays?
It's not that they help. I just think there's a difference between DIY touring.
Some can. Reputable labels can help, for sure.
I think there's... When you tour as an unsigned band, you're just piled into another local show, and it's tough to bring people out. But
you don't have any leverage, really, when you book, either.
When
it's only you and you don't have draw, you know, so...
There's still great
labels. I think draw is important, but I don't know about labels anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still labels that... You know, that I...
No, I mean, there's like, beautiful labels.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Guys like Thrill Jockey or Sergeant House from here or Joyful Noise.
Joyful Noise is great.
They're good labels.
Tina Thrill Jockey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're good labels that...
What's with the bone, brother man?
Oh, that's a...
That's some fucking bass.
Yeah. P-Bone.
Do you play it?
No, I honk on it once while I went to fist at my neighbor.
You can tell us for March in plastic, right?
Yeah.
So you're on the hunt for a label, and you want a tour.
Yeah.
But you don't want a tour until you find a label.
Yeah, I mean...
Kind of.
We'll probably wind up touring anyway, but...
We've been touring really extensively for years, and, you know, we like our records, and we would like a little bit of help.
Sure.
Just tell them.
Where can people find you on the internet?
Just Google Jerk Graham. It's the only thing you're going to find.
Jerkagram, people. If you Google that, you'll find these guys. If you got a label, check out their stuff. You might want to put it out and help them on tour.
Yeah. We're relentless.
I really dig what you're doing, you know, and I got to share the deck with you at the Sunspace in Shadow Hills, and hopefully we can play some more.
I hope
A couple blocks from here is a label, Nomad Eel. They're putting out the Emma Goldman bust out.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes. David Duster. Beautiful guy.
Cool.
But I like the attitude that you want to play anyway. You don't let things get in the way.
Nothing's going to
matter. Well, some people, you know, they'd like throw up their hands. I quit.
Yeah.
We'll play in a cabin that there was no internet.
I mean, I have to.
Dig on your diverse musical background to be able to pull from anything.
Yeah.
I mean,
and your pop, does he like what you're doing?
He does.
Yeah.
This new record, the stuff they've been playing, it's the first time he's really, like, you know, kind of raved about what we were doing.
Yeah.
But he's into all the weird stuff, man, so he's into
it. It's fucking happening.
Yeah.
That's beautiful to have support like that.
It is.
Not getting
it is.
Especially by somebody that you know, growing up, I looked up to as a musician, both my parents, that to have them like what we do is really nice.
Yeah. Right.
The long journey stuff that we do, my mother will say she'll meditate to it, which is really, which is really beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. It means
likewise. Down the Pedro.
Thanks for having
Brother
us.
Brother Matt, thanks for your always aiding in the bed.
Certainly.
Okay. People, it's been the February 12, 2020 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Help out the Jerk of Graham guys. Help out us get a Bukowski statue here in Pedro.
Yeah.
Right.
We're just grateful for everything.
Yeah, GoFundMe.com/Bukowski.
Right. Okay, people, keep your powder dry.